Well, tonight, been thinking about this for a while, actually not a while, just maybe a week or so, after Pastor had asked me, and some people say this is basic stuff, but it's actually foundational stuff, and there's so many times in our lives that we kind of forget about the foundation. I've been to many houses where the foundation's cracked. Water's leaking in, but people are worried about what the blinds are look like. You know, they worry about if the windows are leaking and they're putting plastic on the windows and stuff like that. But the foundation's cracked. Water's leaking in the basement. It's full of mold. They tend to overlook some foundational things. And in that regards, I kind of wanted to. I feel like this is one of those topics, but on the other hand, it may not. So tonight I was just wanting to speak on a subject that we can easily take loosely, and if we aren't diligent, it will ruin our lives. This subject, one may say, is for the kids in the Sunday school class. But I would urge anyone in here to show me in the Bible show me anywhere it says in the Bible that once we reach a certain age, we don't have to think about stuff like this. We don't have to be careful about this subject. As long as we are alive, this will be something that we will fight each and every day. The subject tonight that we'll talk about is mentioned many times throughout Scripture. If it's mentioned many times, it's obviously going to be an important one. It's mentioned in various forms: the tongue, tongues, mouth, mouths, lips, speak, and many other forms of speak. I want to be very careful to say that this is not gender specific. I know some of us can think that it's gender specific, but each and every one of us has one. Who cares about the gender? It's not gender specific. So I just want to be clear that I'm not directing this at any one gender or not. And each one of us in here is at fault for this. And until our time here on earth is expired, this will be something we battle all the time. You ever hear that old man? He raises his ugly head every day. And it's a constant fight to put him off. So tonight I want to title this. It sounds kind of like, but the speaking of tongues. The speaking of tongues. So with that, let's open up to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. I was trying to come up with some fun facts on the tongue. I know some of us like fun facts. One fun fact is the tongue is the only muscle that you can change its shape. Some people can roll it. Some people can curl it. Some people can touch their nose with it. Some people can do a lot of other things. No, I won't touch my nose with it, but, and yes, I can. So, that being said, other than that, it is not the strongest muscle in the body. Some people think that was to be the case, but it's not. It does heal fast. I know that years ago when I was little, we were at a lake and I was climbing up the swimming platform that was out in the middle of the lake, and not in the middle, but off in the deeper water. And the kid going up the ladder in front of me, his heel caught my chin and my two front teeth went through my tongue. Well, you can't stitch it. But within a few days, it was already healed up. So, and all your taste buds are not on your tongue. I think I can, from what I remember reading. So I didn't write any of that down, so I just from what I have up here. So that's all you got from up here. All right, James chapter 3, we'll start with reading with verse number 1. The Bible says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. And I read that, and I can't help but think about, I have a boat, and the motor on my boat, the prop, is literally about that big around. Anybody that has a boat and a motor can agree with me. And and I look at that thing, and I'm like, it's amazing that that little thing can push the boat as fast as it can and can do what it. And just think of a ship. Then the relative size of the prop to the size of the ship, it's just so small. But yet it has so much force. All right, back over here. Verse number 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. So the tongue can be a good thing. We rely on it for speaking, eating, tasting, and so on. Blowing bubbles with your gum. Do whatever, right? It's good. It's good. We try talking without it. You wouldn't be able to try eating or tasting without it. Some of us that had, I didn't experience it, but some of us that had COVID couldn't taste any food. And I think that was weird. I didn't experience that, so I don't know. But that would be like if you didn't have it. You couldn't taste. And those chili powder suckers, you wouldn't be able to taste those. Which then again, you probably would like it. I don't know. So many good has come from the good use of the tongue. You know, I think of something good that came from that is back in Genesis chapter 1 when God spoke the world into creation. You look all around here and you travel around and you see all the different things God has created. And you know, that was just came by speaking. And that in my book is a pretty good use of the tongue. You know, the beginning of John tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things were made by Him. Verse number 3, it says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. You know, we see it in creation. God spoke it, like I said, and it was so. And Dave and I were just out in the parking lot the other night talking about it, and it's always, every time I look up and see it, this always comes to my mind. Oh, He made the stars also. And you look up there and you're like, and that's how it's framed in the Bible. Like, yeah, made the stars. And you just see the wonder of it. And that's amazing. And that's all He spoke it. And it was there. That's pretty important. Another thing that's really important that He spoke is you're holding it in your lap. He spoke His precious words so man could write them down. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of fire, furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, that shall preserve them from this generation forever. They are preserved. And He spoke those. There has been so much good come from what God has spoken that we can't get our minds around it. And God's still speaking today. He is. Our downfall is we're not listening. You know, and pastor's been going over the judgments lately, and you think about the judgments and being judged, and we're going to get there, and we're going to find out what we missed out on because we weren't listening. We had this thing flapping, and this was shut off. It's going to be sad to see what is revealed about what we missed out on. It's going to be downright shameful. You know, the Battle of Jericho was won with shouting. You know, obviously the Lord was in on all that, but there the tongue was used. Jesus spoke to calm the waves. Look at all his time here on earth and his ministry and the many miracles that he did just by speaking. Just by speaking. So the tongue can be good. The tongue can be used for good things. And the Lord is one that we can compare that to and see what he did with and how he did it. You know, and another one that is good is when he cried out, "It is finished." Those are some of the most powerful words that were spoken. My sins, your sins, were finished at Calvary. When he said it's finished, it was done. He took all the sins that I was going to commit before I was even born, before you were even born, and he put them on his back, and he carried them off to hell. And he came in there, and he said, "Here, they don't need them. I took care of it for you." And none of us in here were born. He knew. He already knew what sin each and every one of us was going to commit. But he said, "It's done. It's finished. Don't worry about it. All you need to do is take your tongue and accept him as your personal Lord and Savior, and he'll take care of it." Many men were spoken to via angels and prophets throughout the Bible, either to be praised or rebuked. Not only is the tongue good for survival, it can be good for correction. Think of Nathan telling David, "Thou art the man." Edification, as we see in many of Paul's letters throughout Scripture. So there's a lot of good uses for the tongue. We correct our kids by speaking. Sometimes we have to give a little reinforcement in other forms, but most of the time it's by speaking. If the correction by other forms is held to, then usually it's just speaking. Verse number five, the Bible says, "Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things." The tongue is little, isn't it? But boy, does it do a lot of big things. It does a lot of big things. You just think back of different cases in your life, and you know, every one of us in here that is in a relationship, whether we're married or dating somebody, we all can be at fault. We said something to our spouse that we regret. You know, you were in the heat of it and you weren't thinking and you said it. It does a lot. It does some great stuff. And think of a fire. Many of us have all sat around a campfire. And what it consumes over an amount of time. You know, you're out in the woods and you need to light a fire, and you have your survival flint, right? So you're going to find your knife, and you're going to, because you have a knife, because you need to whittle some wood. But you're like, "How am I going to start this thing?" Well, you're going to look for some dry grass. You're going to look, maybe find some pine trees, and if you find some like balsam firs or small pines, the lower branches are usually dead. And when you get out to the end, they're really dead. So what you do is you break them off and you create a big bundle like this. You don't need gas or oil. I mean, it does make it cool, but you create a bundle like this, and then you get your flint, and it's a couple sparks. Next thing you know, you got yourself a fire, and you're warming up, and you're, "Oh yeah, I brought some hot dogs." But my friend Peter was with me, and he forgot the sticks. But he's got a knife, so we can go whittle some sticks so we can cook the hot dogs. But all that from a spark. It's pretty great. Our tongue is referred to that. one little thing of the tongue, and it just, it's just gone. The tongue is a fire in verse number 6. It defileth the whole body, a world of iniquity. It defileth you. It setteth on fire the course of nature. I think the devil with Eve, he used his tongue to deceive her, and look at what it set on course of nature. We wouldn't be in this situation if that course hadn't been set. Death and life, Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You know, if you deny Christ, you're choosing death by fire. You can call on Christ with your tongue. You can also use your tongue to deny Christ. A no answer is denying Christ. A no answer is a decision. You call on Christ to save you, you're choosing life. So the life and fire are in this. You know, you follow me there? It'll destroy a nation. In Isaiah 3:8, it says, "For Jerusalem is ruined and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory." Look at what happened with the nation of Israel. Because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord. When you go against the Lord, it's not for the good. And if you want any examples, just read about Israel and the nation of Israel through the Old Testament. But all the destruction we can cause with our tongue. And I think we all here tonight can say that we have said something which we would have rather not said. How many relationships have been hurt or burned with our tongue? Think about that. And you say, nah, not that little thing. Yeah, verse 5. How much, you know, like I said, how much destruction does a fire cause? You ever see a house that gets burned down? Catches on fire? There's a lot of destruction there. Just from a little flame. The Bible says in verse number 8 that no man can tame the tongue. But yet we can, in verse number 7, but we can tame beasts and birds and serpents. You know, I was thinking a little bit about that. But those animals don't have any sin nature in them. So they just do what they're told. Yeah, you tame them with some food probably or some treats. You know, that's how you train a dog a lot of times, is give them a treat, scratch their ears. They like that stuff. Give them a toy. But we think we're better than all that. No one can tell us what to do, because we have that sin nature that doesn't want to be told anything. And if you don't think that's true, then look back over the last year and just think up to yourself how you handled it with yourself over what we've been through over the last year. But we know that what lies in our heart is going to come out through the mouth. What's in our heart is what comes out of here. I'm jumping the gun here. So let's go to Matthew, turn over to Matthew chapter 15. What's in our heart is going to come out through our mouth. You know, we can sit and we can kind of think about what we're going to speak first and before we say it, but a lot of times that's not the case. In Matthew chapter 15 here, the Pharisees and scribes have come to Jesus, and they're talking about, hey, how come the disciples, they didn't wash their hands before they ate? You know, they're all worried about getting germs and stuff, and But nowadays, after what we've been through, we can kind of see, like, everybody's worried about the germs and what they're putting in their mouth. You know, and the Lord goes through here and over in verse number 17, after he had to explain it a couple of times, he says, Jesus said, "Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in the mouth goeth into the belly, and it is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man." Our heart is wicked, defileth the man. "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are all the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." It's not what we put in our mouth, it's what is in our heart that comes out of our mouth. I was kind of thinking of a way to explain it in my simple terms, but there's, let me just tell you this. A man is defiled by what comes out of the mouth, not what goes in. If our heart is not kept right, what comes out will truly show the condition of your heart, especially when you're angry or upset. I think of it like this. If anybody shoots trap or archery, where you shoot, it's a shooting sport where you shoot with both eyes open. With a deer rifle or something like that, you usually have a scope, so you only have one eye. But when you shoot with both eyes open, one of your eyes is dominant than the other. So remember the old cameras where you would have to look through the glass? That's your dominant eye. Some people are left eye dominant, some people are right eye dominant. Just because you're right with your right hand does not mean your right hand right eye dominant. My wife knows. She's left eye dominant. So you shoot that weapon with your dominant side for this reason. When you get in a stressful situation, whether you're about to shoot a perfect match for trap, 25 I believe is a match, or you're about to shoot a perfect score in archery, you get in a stressful situation, your body shuts down, and your dominant takes over. And if you're not, you can practice all day long if you're shooting the wrong side. I'm going to shoot right hand because I'm right-handed, but my dominance is over here. What happens is your dominance takes over, this eye picks up, and you miss your target. I struggle with it. I'm kind of on the edge of it. I missed a deer, and the only thing I could think of is my dominant eye picked it up because it's the biggest buck I've ever seen, and I was so excited, and I missed it, right? 10 yards with the bow. So I say all that to say this. When you get in a difficult situation, or you're mad and you're frustrated and you forget to think about what you say, what is in here is going to come out up here. Before you can even process what happened, you're like, where'd that come from? It's because you haven't been practicing, in this case, shooting. You haven't been shooting the correct dominant side, so that when you do practice, when you do get in a stressful situation, your dominance is right on, boom, you're spot on, you hit your target, and you win, whatever. Same thing with the heart. That's, in my mind, that's what I kind of can compare it to. So what do we need to do? We need to keep feeding the words of God and keep getting preached at, so that when we get in a situation, the word of God comes to mind and not some filthy junk, fleshy junk, that will cause someone to stumble. It also, potentially I say, but it will ruin your testimony and cause damage that can't be repaired. And we know it all too well. Once it's said, you can't take it back. Once that bullet leaves the barrel, once that arrow leaves the bow, until it's in the dirt, you can never take it back. You're responsible for that bullet until it's in the dirt, until it's buried in the dirt. The tongue is full of deadly poison. Poison. Years ago, my dog ate some, not Dramamine. That's the stuff for rats or mice. Decon. Yeah, I had a whole patch, box of Decon in the garage, and I'm like, wow, that mice really ate that. And the dog, I think she was wet or something, so we had her in the garage for a bit. Well, yeah, that ends up being poison. That's what it is. It's poison. Well, it didn't kill her, but it was a trip to the vet and this and that, you know, or ER vet. Of course, that happened on a weekend. But poison. When you think of poison, there's stuff. You look underneath the, you know, maybe it's not in your house, which it shouldn't be, but there's stuff, those cleaning supplies and all that. There's labels on there, poison. That's what your tongue is. That's what your tongue is. In Psalms 140, verse 1 through 3, it says, "Deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man, which imagine mischiefs in their heart. Continually are they gathered together for war. They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent adders. Poison is under their lips." Back in the days when they fought with archery equipment, they would put poison. And they, I think they even hunted with that. They'd put poison on the tips of their arrows so it would kill the enemy or the animal better. Poison is meant to kill. Poison is meant to do deadly stuff. And like we saw here in James, it's your tongue is full of it. It's full of it. Romans 3:13 says their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. So clearly, what comes out of our mouth is like poison, and it's going to kill somebody. Maybe not physically, hopefully not physically, but more or less spiritually. Spiritually, it could kill somebody spiritually, and it could also send somebody to hell. We need to be careful to not kill our brethren spiritually and send lost souls to hell for how we talk. When you're in private, when you think you're in private, who's listening? Who's listening? Your neighbor? One time I was looking out my window and I saw my neighbor in the backyard, and he had a bucket and something. He was trying to dump something out, and he got mad and he kicked the bucket and said something. I don't know what he said, but he thought he was by himself. The same neighbor, his wife, was out in the yard, and the neighbor's dog, every time they go out, the dog just at the fence, this little thing. And just, she said something, and all of a sudden she heard somebody, she never saw the lady standing on the deck of the person that has the dog. You don't know who's listening. You don't know. And when you get upset and you get frustrated, you want to say stuff, but you're not even thinking of who's listening. Proverbs 12:18 says, "There is that speaketh like a piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health." It would be healthy to have a wise tongue. Another thing is, how's your conversation to others? How's your conversation to others? Turn back over to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. We'll start with verse number 9. "Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be." Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. You know, you can bless God at this point. You got family over. Let's just example. You got family or friends over, and you're talking about how great God is and what things God's doing in your life. He's allowed you to go on a missions trip. He's allowed you to do this, and then half hour later, conversation turns, and you've gone a complete circle, and you're talking about something totally different that ends up being cursing. I'm not talking about the physical words of cursing, but you get the point. That's something we need to watch in our conversation. How do you talk to others? Does your conversation differ depending on whom you talk to? I know my wife can tell when I'm talking to my mom versus my dad. I don't mean for it to be a certain that I'm physically like talking to her in a different way versus my dad, but there's different conversations that are held and you talk differently. How are you that way with other people? Can somebody listen from the outside and say, hey, they're talking to that person? Well, they must be talking to that person because they're saying this, they talk this way. And then they get over here and they talk to this person and everything goes. That ought not to be. That ought not to be, like it says in verse number 10. It's just things like this have come to my mind recently just from the fact of myself. Sometimes you just kind of get in a rut and you just like to talk about the same things over and over and over, and it gets old after a while, and eventually it doesn't do any good. It doesn't edify anybody. It doesn't do anything but other than just you boast yourself. And we see what it, like the tongue, it boasts great things. It causes a lot of great destructions. I get that sometimes it's normal for our conversation to be different, depending on who you're talking to. But what's not normal is you're kind and friendly to such and such, so and so. But then you turn right around and you're totally different to someone else. That's not normal. That's not right. And we have to be careful, because if we get in that habit of that type of a conversation, eventually it's going to happen with both parties being right there. And that's just how we get sometimes. You get so wrapped up in yourself and you don't even think about what other people around you are even listening. Kind of back to the neighbor, who's listening? Who's listening? If you live in an apartment building or something like that, the walls aren't thick. I lived in a townhome, and I could hear my neighbor, especially if the music was loud or if they were yelling. You don't know. And just by that type of a, you know, you could be, your neighbor, you might be in your apartment or townhome, and you might have the music going, and you're praising God. Well, they don't understand the words. All they hear is just a bunch of racket. And what's the first thing going to come to their mind? A party. I don't know, that's just a side thought. Just got to, you know, even in your car, how many times you drive by somebody and you hear their conversation on the phone for now. Everybody talks on the phone in the car and they got it so loud, you can hear it. You don't know who's listening. And especially if you have, I don't have bumper stickers on my car, but if you got a bumper sticker on your car and your conversation over the phone is not what it should be, Got to think about that. Sorry. 1 Timothy 5:13 says, "And with all they learn to be idle, wandering from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers, and also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not." Like I said, the end of verse 10 says, "This ought not be so, my brethren." In 1 Timothy, there, you know, Pastor went over. We studied that not that long ago, and it's not good to be idle. It's not good to be wandering around with nothing really to do. You got to do something. Being a tattler, we hate our kids telling on each other. Or being a busybody, so-and-so did this and so-and-so did that. Just stop it. But us adults are just at fault for that. We're going around speaking things that we ought not to speak. But you know what would be good for us to do? Put a bit in your mouth. Put a bit in your mouth. Think of a horse. I've heard it said here before. They bridle a horse, so they put a bit in their mouth. Why? To steer the horse. To steer it. A ship has to have a rudder to steer it. You put the bit in the horse's mouth to steer it. In verse number 3, it says, like I just said, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. That little piece, let's say 6 inches, can control a 2,000-pound animal. And when you get into the big working horses, there it's even more. When their shoulders are like here. Just that little bit controls a horse. That's pretty impressive. That's what we need to put in our mouth. Not physically a bit in a bridle, but in Psalms 39:1 says, I said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. Psalm 34:13, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. In Proverbs 21, verse 23 says, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. You say, well, how am I supposed to wear a bridle? Well, duh, people don't wear bridles. Maybe they do. I have no idea. But you know what the bridle can be? The bridle can be this, the Word of God right here. We can constantly be putting, not physically putting it in our mouth, but constantly putting these words in our heart. Because remember what comes out of the heart? It's what's in the heart comes out. If we got the right stuff in here, it's not going to defile us. You know, the bridle can be this. I'm not trying to be mean or anything like that, but the bridle can be bringing yourself to church, sitting yourself down in that chair right there, and get some good old preaching, and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Shut your mouth for once and listen to what the Lord is saying. I'm just at fault of it. I'll be the first to admit. There's a lot of times you just get in a rut, and you're just like, I don't want to go. But how many times do you go, and it's good? It's what you needed. And each one, almost every time. Every time. Not almost, it's every time. We just need to be quiet. How many times do we tell your kids, just be quiet and listen. Just listen. I think I had said it a while ago. The more we listen, the more you learn about things going on around you. That's my opinion. In James 1:26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. It's all in vain then. Proverbs 19:20, hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Verse 21 says, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that will stand. You come in here and you get good counsel every time the doors are open, that's what's going to stand. That's what's going to stand. What's out there, the counsel we receive out there, ain't going to stand. It's not going to stand up against what we get in here, against what this Bible says. It will not stand. It may stand for a short time, but it will not stand. Tonight, I want to leave you with, if I can leave you with one thing. I was trying to, sometimes I like to do a little object lesson. So I don't mean ill by it at all or anything like that. But tonight, if I can leave you with one thing. I got a lighter. That flame right there can burn down a whole forest. Can burn down a whole forest. You ever see the pictures of what a forest fire does? It just destroys everything. And yeah, you know, you go back through there maybe in 6 months or a year, and the vegetation has started to grow up. You're like, oh, it don't look that bad. But then you get looking closely, and you see a tree that's still charred. I've been in many basements that have had house fires, and the floor joists are still halfway decent. They paint them, but you can still see some of them are charred. It doesn't go away. It doesn't go away. Our tongue is as a fire. What we say does a lot of damage. It does just as much damage as a fire that burns thousands of acres. We see it every year. Thousands of acres. Our tongue can do so much damage that it'll kill somebody. Spiritually, not physically, but spiritually. And you might be able to apologize. You might be able to make it right. But life goes on. But that event or that thing you said, there's always going to be a scar. Once it's burnt, until it's ash, even at that point, once it's ash, it'll never go back to what it was before. It'll never go back to what it was. Once you say something with your tongue, whether you meant it or not, there's a lasting remark. There's a lasting remark. And I'm a man. And us men are at fault a lot for it, for the things that we say without even thinking. And if you have an honest wife, she'd probably agree with me. It's kind of, I'll get in a conversation with a lady or something in her house, and she'll complain about her husband or whatever, you know, and he ain't listening. Or I had one lady tell me she wanted the phone lines were low or something, and that guy, I said, well, he's got to trim his trees so I can get the lines up. Well, he's been told, I've told him to trim his trees, and he just won't. And I said, you know, men, you can't tell them anything. She just looks at me. But yeah, you know, and then we think we know it all, and we say something, and then you can't take it back. You can't take it back. You know, it's got to be important. If I was trying to verify this statement, but if every chapter in Proverbs says something about the tongue, the lips, or the mouth, every day, if you read your Proverbs every day, there's something in there warning you about what's coming out of here. Some chapters talk about the woman and what she says to entice the man. Other times it's just about, you know, talking about, you know, you're as a fool, stuff like that. But there's always something, if it has to be, if you have to be reminded every day, there's 31 Proverbs, there's usually 31 days in the month. If you have to be reminded every day, then obviously it's a big deal. It's obviously a big deal. And I hope you get the hint that there's a problem. I hope you get the hint. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. That's what we should try to be. We should try to have pleasant words. Y'all know how sweet honey is. I've never had straight up honeycomb, but I can imagine it's pretty sweet. And it's healthy. It's healthy to the bones. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Let that sink in. Colossians 4:5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. It's important that we redeem the time. I know a lot of times you like to just kind of kick back and relax, but it's not good. It's like I said earlier, it's not good to be idle. We need to be redeeming the time that God has given us. Each day that we live, God has given us another opportunity to serve Him. You know, another example would be the woman in Proverbs 31. not only for the from the work inside of it, but verse 26 says, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. If we can get in that habit of that type of a speech, it would be good. It would be good. James chapter 3, down in verse number 13, says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. The wisdom from above is what we need. And we get that by this, by reading the Word of God, by coming in here and hearing the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. It doesn't come from anything else. It says it right here. It says it right here. So I pray this was a good reminder for us all. I hope it was just a little something to think about. You know, our time here on earth is short. It's just a vapor, like the Bible says. And we need to be trying to help each other and win the loss. It doesn't do any good to try to be better than the next person. In the end, it's what's eternal. And some of us heard this when we were down in Mexico, but there's three things that are eternal: God, His Word, and the souls of men. And like I said the other night, when put those things in a there's you got God's list, and you got God's pile and the little pile, and put your stuff in see which pile it belongs in. Most of it's going to belong over here. Are you doing what God wants you to do? We need to be trying to help each other. And cutting each other down and trying to be better than the next person isn't helping anybody. Is your speech helpful or is it hurtful? That's all I got. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this.